The scripture reading today comes from the opening words of John's Gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. On the second Sunday of Advent, Moments with Many focused on doing things that make for peace. In an attempt to communicate to the kids in terms that they might understand, we began by thinking about the things that make for a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Perhaps you remember that lesson. It seemed to get a lot of attention that day, not only the attention of the kids, but of others. Later that evening, my son Jordan texted me. The text simply read, "Who ate the PB&G sandwich?" PB&J, he spelled it right. PB&J sandwich. My response was, "Guess." I went on to explain that Diane had stayed after worship for handbell practice first, and then to lay out and label all the costumes for the children's pageant. It was taking quite a while, and I was getting hungry. So I decided to do the thing that would make for peace: eat the peanut butter and jelly sandwich and wait quietly until she was finished and ready to go home for lunch. Understanding the wisdom and sense of humor of his father, Jordan responded with a meme captioned by the words, "Now that's what I call full circle." Today, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, I've decided to draw on Jordan's wisdom and inspiration with the lighting of the candle of love. Let's take up the call to go full circle. I mean, just look at the Advent wreath, the visual implication that it speaks to us. Awaiting only the light of the Christ candle this evening, we have lit the other four candles. We have, quite literally, gone full circle. The message is clear. It is love that takes the Advent journey full circle. In fact, it is love that takes any spiritual journey full circle. It is love that is the purposed outcome of our every encounter with the presence of God, who is love. In reference made to the Advent movie, Christmas Lilies of the Field, I have likened Mother Maria and her small convent of nuns to the desert mothers due to their dwelling in the Arizona desert. The desert mothers and fathers were early pre-monastic theologians. We will get far better acquainted with them in the upcoming Lenten season. Suffice it here to say that they took to the isolation of the desert to focus solely on their encounter with God in order to be transformed into persons of love. They were, to be sure, ascetics, but they understood true asceticism to be a balance. Perfection consisted not in denying themselves, but in charity or love. There is definitely somewhat of a resemblance between Mother Maria and the nuns to the desert mothers. They lived simply, rather solitary lives in the desert, without many of the comforts of privilege. There they had come to experience God in a way that compelled them to care for the needs of children who had found sanctuary among them. There was a love that went full circle, despite the efforts mounted to cast shadows of doom over their mission of caring for the children, providing them with whatever they needed to grow and thrive. They encountered the social worker from the state of Arizona, Miss Owens. She was bound by ordinance and regulation to close down Mother Maria's campaign of love. Oh, she meant well. She wanted the children to have proper housing and health care. What she forgot to bear in mind was the human factor. She was put in her place when she was asked where in her rules and regulations did it ever mention L-O-V-E. Mother Maria encountered more resistance from bureaucratic authority, being told her project to care for the children was impossible. Again, there was resistance from the local charity board of all places, who let judgment get in the way of love going full circle. The priest in Christmas Lilies of the Field, Father Brian Connor, explaining the bell tower of the mission having no bells, said, "Towers without bells have always been the fashion around here." I am wondering if Advent wreaths that fail to go full circle might also be the fashion. Do we stop before we get to the candle of love? Maybe we grow tired. Enough with the candles already. Like the candle of hope, our hope is beginning to burn low by now. Even after lighting the candle of peace yet again, there is no peace. And joy, whatever joy we might have found in the children's pageant, begins to die away, as does the laughter. Content, complacent, confused, we let love fall dark rather than go full circle, lighting the candle of love, if not on the Advent wreath, then in our own lives. It's not just us. It seems to have been the fashion around here for a long time. Richard Rohr has said, "Christianity is a lifestyle, a way of being in the world that is simple, nonviolent, shared, and loving." However, we made it into an established religion and all that goes with that, and avoided the lifestyle change itself. One could be warlike, greedy, racist, selfish, and vain throughout most of Christian history and still believe that that was following Jesus. "The world has no time," he says, "for that kind of silliness anymore. The suffering on earth is just too great." When our faith tradition, any faith tradition, goes full circle, it leads us right back to love. Every single one of the major traditions, Confucianism, Buddhism, and Hinduism, as well as the monotheisms, teaches spirituality of empathy. The religious traditions are in unanimous agreement that the one and only test of a valid religious idea, doctrinal statement, spiritual experience, or devotional practice was that it must lead directly to practical compassion. Karen Armstrong says, "If our understanding of the divine makes us kinder, more empathetic, and impels us to express this sympathy in concrete acts of loving kindness, this is good theology. But if your notion of God makes you unkind, belligerent, cruel, or self-righteous, or if it leads you to kill in God's name, it is bad theology." Compassion, love, was the litmus test for the prophets of Israel, for the rabbis of the Talmud, for Jesus, for Paul, and for Muhammad. We must ask ourselves, Where in our doctrinal statements, spiritual experiences, or devotional practices does it say anything about love? How is our encounter with the presence of Christ this Advent, today, transforming us into persons of greater love? The call today, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, is to let love go full circle. John opens his gospel not with the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, like the Gospel of Luke, not with the lineage of Jesus in the tribe of Judah and family of David, like the Gospel of Matthew, but with the incarnation of Jesus, whom he calls the Word, which was eternal, together with God, becoming flesh and making his home among us. It is one of the central tenets of our faith, rooted in the birth of our Lord. Thomas Merton has this to say about the incarnation: the loveliness of the humanity which God has taken to himself in love is, after all, to be seen in the humanity of our friends, our children, our brothers, the people we love and who love us. He asks, now that God has become incarnate, why do we go to such lengths all the time to disincarnate God again, to unweave the garment of flesh and reduce God once again to spirit? The incarnation of Christ compels us to let love go full circle by seeing the divine within the lives and the flesh of one another. John would go on to have this to say about love. Maybe you've heard it. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Christ's birth begins with God's love for us. God's love for humankind is seen in the Son of God taking on flesh and making his home among us. Our call is to let the love of God go full circle by loving all God's children with the selfsame love that God loves them. How might we do this? Simply by opening ourselves to receive the light of God's love that has come to dwell among us and within us in the birth of Christ. By allowing the light that has come in Christ to kindle a spark of love in our own hearts for one another. By letting the light of our love for one another shine in the darkness and refusing to ever let it be extinguished. The Advent wreath. By allowing the love of God to go full circle, because as the Apostle Paul might remind us, if we have candles but don't have love, we might have become clanging bells and clashing cymbals. If we have wreaths but don't have love, we are nothing. This Advent, as we light the candle of love, may the blessing of fire be upon us. May the light of God illuminate us. And may the flame of love burn brightly in us, offering warmth and light to the world. Amen.